Yes.
Jared Castles, LNC, a corporate advisory. Really point for you following up. What we're saying there really is the RMs are the front line in relation to customers. I think your colleague quoted 94% of everything in credit goes through.
Yeah.
Fair enough. If it was 94 there, you must be down significantly lower than that. What are the unique aspects that the RMs are in Royal Bank compared to your competitors without naming them to mean that you're getting the right people meeting the customers? I accept you have been placed in there to upskill them.
Yeah.
But beyond that broad generality of we all want to be upskilled and be better decision makers and more aware of the risk profile that we're committing to in our partnership with you, how are you relating and strengthening the RM environment?
Well, the bank's invested heavily in accreditation. Accreditation is something that we have now externally with the Chartered Institute of Bankers, and there's an accreditation program which is followed by all RMs, and it covers a whole multitude of things in terms of, you know, business strategy, cash flow, and generally supporting customers. So there's been quite a lot of work and investment done on that to try and get every relationship manager accredited. We've created specialist RMs as well in property, ag, healthcare and leisure, where they have specialist qualifications for those sectors. So their portfolio will predominantly be made up of customers in that space, so that if you're sitting with an agricultural manager, his portfolio is all in the ag space, equally for property and healthcare. So those specialisms have definitely upped the game. And what you'll find is the approval rates and decline rates are much lower than those spaces, because the RM has got a very specific set of skills. The trading RMs, which is probably the majority of our customers in the SME space, there is accreditation for them. Obviously, you can't really have a specialist trading RM because there's so many areas to cover. That's maybe the area we need to upskill most in, is my observation, and Ron would probably agree with that. And that's the area we are focused on. But accreditation is a journey that we've been on for about 18 months, 2 years now. And we have our Working With You days, which is part of that, where the RM will spend a day with a customer working in their business, but not as the bank.
How many RMs are you chucking out?
Chucking it out the bank?
Yeah, getting on accreditation.
Every RM will be through accreditation. There's a few that don't go through it.
I think what you're alluding to quite rightly is there is a mixed bag of skills. Yeah. Gate. I mean, I'm not going to sit here. There absolutely is, and you know we've got you know, it's like any. I mean, every business has got, you know, a kind of pecking order in terms of ability, and to be fair, we are no different. We have got some great RMs. We've got others who. I liken it. In actual fact, the way I look at the RMs, we've got some relationship managers who've actually been great post recession, where we've been probably far too much internally focused in terms of us, our repair work. Some of our RMs have actually been great at that. Others are much better externally focused when you're in a bullish economy where they can go out there and network and profile and get business. And those RMs are very often poor at the internal stuff. So you've got a contrasting skill set there that is intrinsic in the psyche. And we're acutely aware of that. You know, the old hunter-farmer analogy, you know, some of our RMs are great hunters and they're not great farmers, and vice versa. And in the mix and in the round, it's an ongoing challenge to try and find, you know, be fit for purpose at any particular point. I mean, our challenge now is, as we're trying to get back out on the front foot, a lot of our managers have become very tired at doing that. They've become so internally programmed that the thought of going out and networking and trying to generate business and cold calling non-bank customers is something that's really alien to them. You know, so you're absolutely right in your point that it is a mixed bag. I think in answer to your point, we're probably not as ruthless performance managers as some industries. You've got to do something pretty bad to leave the organisation. You know, that said, you know, I think through natural wastage and through rationalisation, the reality now is when as people leave naturally, we probably aren't replacing in such significant volumes. But it is an absolutely fair point you're making, and we are acutely aware that within the round, we've got a lot of different skill sets within the relationship manager population. And we would like to have a bit, we'd always like to have a stronger team.
I think, Robin, can I just add, so I'm Ronnie's equivalent in the East. From that, I know Ronnie mentioned about the deal clubs, the deal forums. I guess myself and Ronnie are benefited out of promotion and into a new role, because this has been identified internally, exactly what you're identifying externally. Mm-hmm. As Robin's muted, if you think about our business as our journey, we came to 2008 and we pretty much hit, not a hurdle, a brick wall. And in that time, you think about where we've leaned, as Lawman's talk, people have been made redundant. It was the 50-plus sector. So these were all your traditional bank managers, the guys that everybody understood, the, suppose you're using as an analogy, Captain Mannering type figures, the banker in the corner with the bowler hat. As Robin said, we've concentrated in other areas. You know, you'll see the FSA talking about banking, having targets for non-core products. So we're the insurance salesman, I'm the credit card salesman, I'm the merchant services salesman. We need to get back to our core, and that's the position we're pointing in. We're lenders, and we're bankers. However, we've kind of got a gap, in my opinion, we see. So from 2008, we have promoted, certainly in the business space where me and Ronnie were, guys who have been from that background of sales, and they're now having to reinvent themselves as lenders. So you're right, there can be a big knowledge gap in some areas. That's how myself and Ronnie are there. So when we talk about these deal forums, yeah, in the main we want them to be positive, these internal meetings between all the managers. But we do invite them to bring out all the declines as well, because one thing we've identified is, are we 100% comfortable that the decline should have been a decline? We've got a second look process, but you might find, could it be flawed? It could be, if you've got a team of maybe four managers working at the same office, if someone's working away in a deal, the guys around them will get to understand that deal, because they'll throw questions in, and they'll ultimately come to the decision once they've got the right information assessed and say, I don't think this is one for us guys. They'll go to the guy beside them who pretty much knows, he's not really looking at full independent. So part of the process is, if you've declined, every customer should receive a letter, what we call our business hotline letter. It's inviting them to an independent appeals process with 30 days to call an independent. It is RBS staff, but they will not know anything about the deal. And they'll get, potentially in our mind, a third look at it. If it hasn't been to credit, can potentially, if it's been to credit, it's been declined, could be a fourth look at it. I guess it's as strong as we can commit to at the moment. Out with, as you correctly identify, if a manager gets a case in from somebody in the room here today and says, no, that's not one for us, could we be 110% comfortable they went through the right process? I guess the answer is no, unless they're honest. But each customer should receive some form of decline, and in a perfect world, that decline will be explained to them, to the customer, so as the customer does have an understanding. And yeah, we'll try and give a nice no, I guess. If we see that it's a small problem, here's what I advise you do. Maybe you think about doing this and correcting it, come back to us. Yesterday alone, I had one where the business had a lot of unpaids, and the explanation we got is, oh, that's just growth pains. We kind of look at it kind of differently. You've written a cheque to someone, and that somebody's expected to be paid. How would you feel if you're at the other end? And we might say to them, look, we think the fundamental of the business is sound. We think it's going in the right direction, but that's just a trait that you're not happy with. So we might set an expectation, go away for 6 months and come back to us once it's completely clean, and then we know you've got your ducks lined up, and we'll feel in a more comfortable position. So we try to capture as much as we can. As Robin said, the perfect world, we will. We've got mechanisms in there to try. But I guess it's a two-way street. We need people to come back to us and tell us they think they've been unfairly dealt with through the processes that are there, and that's the business hotline.
I mean, personally speaking, I don't think we deal with the no well at all. I mean, if I'm being absolutely blunt, I think it's one of our biggest weaknesses in terms of how we deal with a situation where we are not supporting a customer. I think it is hugely variable out there, and I think it's something that we need to get much better at in terms of explaining, trying to turn a no to a positive advantage rather than leaving a customer feeling really aggrieved in terms of our decision, because your characteristics are such that it's not an easy conversation. You know, it's not an easy conversation to have with an individual where you're fundamentally saying no. And it's something that I don't think, you know, when you've got so many RMs, you've got massive variability on that, and it's something I don't think the banking industry as a whole is particularly good at, and I think it's something we need to get better at.
How many relationship managers do you have?
In my team, about 42, but in of commercial managers, we have about 90 in Scotland, and then obviously in the business segment that Ronnie's in, a lot more. Below that. So, you know, just that point, you know, trying to get consistency across 90 so that everybody is broadly being hugely professional when we're telling a customer, here is why we cannot support. I think there's massive variability, and it's something we need to get a lot better at.
Time for one last question.
So it's Ian Nairn, petitioner. If the request is declined, would you actually give a suggested answer to make it from a negative to a positive, or would you just say go back and think again, and you go back blindly and keep trying until you give up?
No.
I think the good man, again, a really top-notch relationship manager will do the thing really professionally and try his best to exhaust all avenues and see if you do a what if. I think in some cases, you know, that's what we aspire to do. I think the reality is somewhat different, if we're being honest, and that's not just an RBS. I think that's all. You know, I think it's a difficult discussion for some people to have. You know, because as I said earlier, we've brought RMs up on a background where we have been a bit subservient to customers in the good times. And yes, it's been an easy thing to say when money's been readily available. So I think that's what we aspire to do. And I think the best managers do that pretty well, but I think it is a bit of a mixed bag, if I'm being honest.
The customer should get, in every case, they should get a letter from the bank explaining why it's been declined, and explaining that they have a right to appeal that decision.
It's not just that, it's trying to be proactive to
yeah.
take the negative.
Absolutely.
Say, like, okay,
yeah.
we've agreed that far, it's short on
yeah.
these criteria. How and can we come to a middle ground?
Well, a good RM should be ideally having a face-to-face meeting with that customer to discuss why we're declining it, and identifying why. So if it's working capital, if it's an overdraft increase, for example, how are they managing the working capital? Is it actually within the customer's own control to resolve that issue? Often it actually is, and it's because they're not managing their stock and their debtors properly. And I've seen quite a lot of cases where actually if they actually concentrated on managing those things better, they might negate the problem. If it's term debt, where they're trying to buy a property or invest in an asset, it might be a conversation to say, look guys, your debt servicing's too tight. You know, do you realise if you take this debt on, You put the actual trading in the business under jeopardy. So how critical is buying the property now? Could you wait 6 months or a year and see how the business performs? So some customers react reasonably well to a decline, and some customers understandably take it quite emotionally, and it is quite a painful experience for some customers because they do take it as a personal no. And one of the things we're trying to do in Business Bank is the director will phone the customer 4 weeks after the decline to have a conversation with them to say, look, how are you, how are things, to make sure that we are contacting that customer in a reasonable period after that decline. And that's something that we've put in place, so it will be quite a senior member of the team will phone the customer to have a chat.
Okay, I think we're going to have to wrap it up now, but we can take away from this CFADs, that accountants are critical in helping with the business plan and producing the forecast. And that there is money for the banks have money to lend if they have the right proposition in front of them. And it's just now for me to thank Robin, Laura Anne, and Ronnie very much for coming into the Lion's Den. It must be difficult being a banker just now. Hopefully none of you guys are having to reduce your pension pot. but thank you all very much indeed for coming to us.
Thank you, Robert.